Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're doing something a little different. We're looking at Seth Godin's personal notes to myself.
Right. These aren't like a finished book. They're more like quick hits of wisdom he's gathered.
Exactly. Potent little nuggets, insights designed to stick, you know.
And our mission here is really to unpack these notes. They seem simple, maybe, but there are some deep lessons in there for you.
Moments, maybe. Things you can actually use.
That's the idea. For your life, your work, even, you know, how you show up in your community, it's sort of a shortcut to getting smarter without feeling overwhelmed by info.
Okay, let's jump into the first theme then. This one really challenges our idea of normal. It pushes us to embrace change.
Yeah, the feeling that things are stable. Maybe that's not quite right.
Godin puts it bluntly, like, the system can be changed and normal is not permanent. That's note number one.
And number 54 adds, today's world is unpredictable. And this is as stable as it will ever be again.
Whoa. Right. So let's unpack that. What does that actually mean for us living day to day if normal is always shifting?
Well, I think it means adaptation is. It's everything. It's not just a nice to have skill. It's essential.
Like his point about maps. Outdated maps might be worth less than no map at all. Number four.
Exactly. Think about that. Using an old street map in a city that's changed. It's worse than useless. It actively sends you the wrong way.
So sometimes having no preconceived idea is better.
It lets you see what's actually there instead of trying to force old solutions, you know? He also says something interesting. There are no side effects, merely effects. Number six.
Okay, what's the angle there?
It's about seeing the whole picture, I think. Every action has consequences, ripples. We shouldn't dismiss things as just minor side effects.
And this links to another one. Uncomfortable facts are often the most helpful ones. Number 17.
Oh, definitely. Facing that awkward truth, that difficult feedback.
Yeah.
That's usually where the real growth happens. It's uncomfortable, sure, but it's necessary if you want to navigate this changing landscape effectively.
That makes a lot of sense. Acknowledging the instability, even the discomfort, actually empowers you, right? To make different choices.
Yeah, it frees you up from trying to pretend things are static when they clearly aren't.
Okay, so if we accept that things are always changing and we need to adapt, where do we put our energy?
Well, that leads perfectly into the next theme. Strategic focus and impact.
Right. Godin gets really specific here. Things like find the smallest viable audience, that's number two, and pick your customers, pick your future. Number three.
And also, find clarity about who the customer is and isn't. Number 22.
This is where it gets really interesting for me. Why is thinking small, in terms of audience, often the key to making a big impact? How does that connect to who you serve?
It's all about the power of focus. Like, imagine you want to improve something locally, say, reading skills. Godin's approach isn't launch a massive citywide campaign.
No, what then?
It's find that smallest viable audience. Maybe it's the parents at just one school who need help. Serve them incredibly well.
Okay, start hyper-focused.
Exactly. That focus builds momentum. You learn fast. And it connects to other notes, like quitting one thing is the only way to find the focus to do the next thing. That's 34.
You have to say no to some things to say yes effectively to others.
Right. And focus on the hard part, number 33. Don't spread yourself thin on the easy stuff. Dig into the core challenge.
This also seems related to invest in slow growth, number 15, and trade short-term wins for long-term impact, 53.
Absolutely. It's a long-game perspective. And when you know that specific small audience, like those parents, then number 30 makes sense. Helping someone get what they want is easier than changing what they want.
Because you understand their actual need. You're not guessing or trying to persuade a huge, diverse group.
Precisely. Your effort becomes much more targeted, much more impactful, and likely more sustainable, too.
So defining that focus, whether it's a personal project or maybe a community initiative, isn't limiting. It's actually enabling. It helps you achieve more meaningful results by being precise.
You got it. Precision over just broad strokes.
Okay, great. So we've talked about mindset, strategy. Now let's shift to the practical side. Doing the work. Theme three, action, reliability, and service.
And get it done part.
Yeah. Godin has some really punchy notes here. There is no perfect moment to begin. Number 9, just start. And number 12, ship the work.
Don't wait for perfection.
And a big one, reliability is a superpower. Number 5. So for anyone listening who's thinking about, say, starting that local project or volunteer effort, what's the takeaway here for actually doing it and building trust?
It boils down to consistency. Note 50 says, consistency is more useful than authenticity. And number 63. Earn trust through action.
Interesting. Consistency over authenticity. What does that mean exactly?
I think it means showing up regularly, doing what you said you'd do. That builds trust far more than just feeling authentic but being flaky. People get stuck polishing, right? Waiting for perfect.
Perfection paralysis.
Yeah. Godin says, ship it. Get it out there. The real learning starts after you launch, even if it's messy. The cost of waiting is often huge.
So for that neighborhood group or local business, just being dependable, that's massive.
Immense. And he also points out, number 7, there's usually an opportunity to be of service. It's a call to look around, see needs, and step up.
Which connects to number 8. Silence is an option, and so is leadership. You can choose to act.
Exactly. But there's a caution, too. Number 28, consider the cost of keeping a promise before making it.
Ah, so be deliberate about commitments. That's the foundation of being reliable. Don't overpromise.
Right. Say what you'll do, then do it. That's the superpower.
It really does sound like just showing up and delivering consistently, even imperfectly, is maybe the biggest part of the battle.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get over that initial hump, though, that no perfect moment feeling?
Sometimes it's just make the first step ridiculously small. Instead of organize the whole event, maybe it's just draft one email about the idea.
Break down.
Yeah.
Go.
That tiny action can create just enough momentum to get you going.
Makes sense. Okay, let's dive inward now. Theme 4 is about the inner game, mindset, and growth. This is where it gets personal.
Mm-hmm. The internal challenges.
Godin notes things like shame is a dream killer. That's number 10. And number 44, imposter syndrome is real, and it arrives whenever we're doing important work.
So relatable, right? Anyone who's tried to do something meaningful has felt that.
Totally. And he also says, perfectionism is not related to quality, number 35. So how do these notes help us navigate those mental hurdles when we're trying to do important things?
They're all about managing your internal state, basically. Mm-hmm. Like number 19, when in doubt, look for the fear. It's asking you to pause and figure out what's really driving your hesitation. What are you afraid of?
Self-awareness.
Exactly. And then reframing things. Number 42, gratitude is a more useful fuel than anger. Think about that for sustained effort, like in a long community project. Anger burns out, but gratitude can keep you going.
And number 41, embrace necessary discomfort.
Yeah, that's huge. Growth isn't comfortable. Seeing challenges not as roadblocks, but as part of the process. Opportunities, even.
It all seems to lead towards number 64. Become the person your future thanks you for and forgive the past for the mistakes it made.
Such a powerful idea. Self-compassion looking forward. And recognizing, as he says in 65, that attitudes are skills.
Attitudes are skills, like something you can practice and get better at.
That's the implication. Resilience, gratitude, embracing discomfort.
Yeah.
These aren't just personality traits.
Huh?
They're skills you can cultivate to help you navigate the hard stuff.
So managing that inner voice, reframing challenges, it's not just about feeling good. It's a practical skill for actually getting things done and overcoming doubt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's fundamental. Your mindset isn't fixed. You can train it. It's a toolkit for showing up effectively for whatever matters to you.
Okay. Our final theme looks outward again. Navigating relationships and information. How we interact with people and ideas.
Super important, especially when you're trying to collaborate or make change happen.
Godin offers some really insightful, maybe even challenging perspectives here. Like number 11, everyone who disagrees with you believes they are correct.
Yeah, that's a tough one to internalize sometimes, but so true.
And number 20, avoid arguments, embrace conversations. Plus number 38, criticize ideas, not people.
Foundational stuff for any kind of productive discussion.
So if you connect these dots, how can these insights really change how you engage with different viewpoints, whether it's, you know, family, work, or a community meeting?
They encourage nuance, I think.
Yeah.
Like number 13, treat different people differently. It's acknowledging context. You don't talk to your kid the same way you talk to your boss, right?
Makes sense. Tailor the approach.
And number 31 is crucial. Not all criticism is equally valid. You need discernment. Learn to filter helpful feedback from just noise.
That's empowering. What about number 24? Lowering expectations can increase satisfaction. Sounds a bit pessimistic.
Maybe not pessimistic, maybe just realistic, especially in group efforts. Perfect alignment is rare. Managing your own expectations can actually lead to more contentment with good enough outcomes rather than constant frustration.
Okay, I can see that. And number 60, reassurance is futile. Sometimes people just need to work through it themselves.
Yeah, sometimes trying to smooth everything over doesn't actually help. People need agency. And overall, number 56 is key. make assertions.
Be clear. State your point.
Yes. Don't be vague. Clear communication is vital. All these ideas together, they help you build stronger connections, have better discussions. It's about seeing disagreement as a chance to understand, not just a fight to win.
Wow. What an incredible range we've covered, just from these short notes to myself. From rethinking normal and adapting, to focusing strategically, taking action reliably.
Managing your inner game and navigating how you interact with others. Yeah, it's a lot.
It really underscores that these aren't just abstract thoughts. They feel like very practical, actionable insights for your life, your projects, your community work, your relationships.
Definitely. And maybe a final thought to leave you with. Think about how many of these notes really push back against conventional wisdom, things you might just accept without thinking.
Good point.
So maybe ask yourself, what's the most liberating, uncomfortable fact from all this that you could embrace today? Something about a project, maybe, or a personal challenge. And based on that clarity, what's one small step, just one tiny action you could take?